Thank you very much for coming, and it's such an honor for me to be here. And thank you, Giovanna, for the lovely introduction. My name is Mami Kataoka. I first time worked with Yanagi in 2013, so a little over 10 years ago. But I knew him since very early 1990s, when first time he made this flag piece, when I was still a student. His image of that flag piece became a cover of Art in America, very important art magazine at the time. So I thought someone from Japan became superstar in the United States. I was like, wow, who is this man? So I had been following him since now it's almost 30-some years. And I would like to start from this work because his work always very important to understand a lot of metaphor. He has many, many stories behind. And also some works change the meaning according to the time and place. Because this exhibition includes some very old work from early 90s to very new work across over 30 years. But I think when time and place changes, then I think the meaning changes too. Now it's a little bit noisy, so let's just listen to the sound. Yeah, this is the sound of the explosion of the nuclear testing. And this work, you see one eye, it's the eye of Godzilla. Godzilla first time appeared on the film in 1954. And then at least in one company, Toho, they produced over 30 Godzilla film. So maybe some of you might have seen Godzilla film in the past. Yeah, the Godzilla is a monster, but Godzilla is a metaphor or representing nuclear power. And in 1954, or even before, as you all know, in 1945, the United States tested the nuclear bomb to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That was the first time the nuclear power bombing was actually executed in the human history. And after so many people died, they kept testing over Pacific Ocean. So until the ending of the testing, which was banned by United Nations in 1996, they tested over 300 times. So now, it's 80 years after end of the World War, and then also 80 years after atomic bombing. But it could not be ending. Now when we imagine what is happening in the whole world, and then I think for us, it's rethinking about the time and space. And now we are in Italy. From Japan, it's much closer to what is happening between Russia and Ukraine. And then also all these war and bombings happening all around the world now. And it's so sad to see all this news every day. But some of Yanagi's work starting to have a different meaning when we were in this kind of time. And after the war, of course, Japan lost the war and Italy also lost the war. And then how our society changed from 40s to 50s and 60s, both countries made a miracle economic progress. And such a good time in 50s, 60s, and 70s, but then slowly economy goes down. So, and then also we have a big energy crisis and energy issue. So I think human history had been changing, and then all these parts of his work starting to have a different meaning. And he made his work after 2011 Japanese earthquake. I don't know if you remember the Fukushima nuclear power plant exploded. So after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we were so shocked by the bomb, But 10 years later, 1953, already President Eisenhower said a peaceful use of the atomic nuclear power. So 20 years later, 1960s, Japan also started the nuclear power plant. So the shift of energy source from coal to oil to nuclear energy. And so we were kind of forced to believe that a nuclear power is a new, better energy for the bright future for a long time. And we thought a nuclear bomb was something already ended in the past in the history. But after the war, people started to use it for the better use. But now you can imagine what is really happening, what kind of threat we are facing. So he made that peace in 2014 with this one Godzilla eye. It's like whenever there is a danger of nuclear power, Godzilla comes up in the film. So it's coming back and back again and again. And he only made one eyeball. And then in the iris, you see this explosion of the images that he collected from over 300 atomic testing by United States. So this sound is, of course, this is explosion sound. And then all other parts he collected when he made it for the first time, he collected the numbers and all the thrown away products from Fukushima. So the people in Fukushima had to scrape the surface of the land because all the surface of the soil was contaminated. And all the contaminated soil was put in these black bags. So this really represents what had happened after explosion of the atomic nuclear power plant. And also this red neon sign is fragments of a little bit big part now. So the neon signs are fragments of our Constitution Article 9. And after Second World War, new constitution was constructed by the Allied powers and the United States for Japan not to have a military force. So now we only have a self-defense force, but we do not have a military. Instead, America has their military camps. Then they are supposed to help us if something happens. But now President Trump is complaining that you are not paying anything. We are protecting you, but you're not paying anything. But actually, we are paying so much, and we have given so much land to the camp. So this is really like a complicated relationship between Japan and the United States. But this Article 9 is so important that after the war, we declare that we do not have a military force. We do not go to the war. But now America is saying, you should have a military force. You should join us and when we go to the war. So it has been always a controversial discussion that we had been doing since 80 years. So he's just questioning what is the meaning of this Article 9. And all the texts are fragmented. So meaning that it's not in one sentence anymore. A possibility of this Article 9 is broken. So let's try to move to a slightly quiet area. Okay, so we are a little bit far away from the sound, but I brought you to this piece called the Absolute Dart. And Absolute Dart is the, in military words, that the bomb which did not explode. And this is a replica of 1945 Hiroshima bomb. So you can imagine, same size bomb was dropped to city of Hiroshima in August 6. Then underneath, 140,000 people died. So you can imagine this solid steel, it weighed 1 ton. In the past, it was shown closer to the land so that it's almost explored. But here at the Hangar Bikoka, it's higher so that you can feel that this massive amount of metal might be coming down to your land and what would happen. So I think it's important that you can imagine how this piece of sculpture, it's not just a piece of sculpture, it's really containing so much memory of human history. And then you can imagine that all these people not just died, but people who had injured and suffered from the post-atomic disease for so long. So it's something that we, at least Japanese history, we engraved in our mind that we should not repeat the war. So this was a very strong part of a post-war education. But the world is not like that now. So we have to think what this one-ton piece of metal means. Yeah, when I saw it first time, really gave me a goosebump. And then when the piece was closer to the land, it was more like face-to-face to the work. So to me, it was more scary to feel the scale and weight of, and then also the power behind this atomic bomb. And so I want to keep explaining about this container piece called the Icarus container. And I think you all know about the story of Icarus. And yeah, what is the message of Icarus, you think?
So the idea is that you don't have to fly metaphorically too close to the sun. It's like you have to be careful not to be too greedy and not to aspire for too much, but in a sort of way know that you're limited and you're mortal, and therefore don't mess with the gods, basically.
Any other message you can think of? Yeah, this Icarus story, as you exactly said, but also this is, once you go inside, it's like a maze. And Icarus' father, Daedalus, was a god of technology. Then he made a maze and labyrinths for the god. And then he and Icarus was on the other hand had to stay in this maze. And then the father and Icarus thought about putting together the feather and caught it with the candle, then wax, and then they made a big feather. But so it's also made me think of this current energy crisis, but also this technology progress. And we are talking about AI, new technology, and there is a certain amount of fear for AI, but also a certain amount of praise that we can do anything and you can sort of expand your life with the new technology. So it's again a question, how much do you believe in the progress? And are we in a state of progress or growth model in a society? Not really. I think your population is also declining, and Japan's the population is also declining. So we have to imagine different kind of world, not about the growth, but it's more about the quality of life. How do we change the value of our life? And all these questions that we are facing. So when you go inside of this container, yeah, again, you have to read many, many metaphors from Yanagi's work. This shipping container, and it has been going all around across the world. So you can think of a globalization. You order something from Japan, and Amazon deliver you tomorrow morning. So that kind of a chain. Then you think about what kind of energy you are using, how many people are moving for that. So all this global chain of capitalism and the market and all of these are all related to these containers. And He has his piece in Inujima, in southern island in Japan. And Yanagi was born in 1959 in very south part of Japan called Kyushu. But then he started work in Naoshima area project. Maybe some of them have gone to Naoshima. It's a beautiful island with a lot of art. In 1995, he was almost hired by Mr. Fukutake, who is the owner of Naoshima. Then he was allocated this island called Inujima. And Inujima used to had a copper refinery at the beginning of 20th century. Then 1909, they built a new copper refinery factory when copper was very important for the industry. But it lasted only 10 years. So they had to close the factory in 1919. Then until Yanagi reopened the site in 2018, the whole site was closed for 90 years. That's really an amazing story. One time, at the peak of the industry, on that island, 2,000 people were working. But since then, suddenly it closed because value of the copper went down. So it's just amazing how human beings are kind of controlled by the price of the market and then also energy source. And then from coal to copper, oil, all this shift of energy. Now, as I said, the nuclear power is questioned. And Yanagi's hometown in Kyushu is very famous for coal. So he was born in 1959, but you can imagine that between 50s to 60s, the energy industry was shifting from coal to oil. So you can imagine that his hometown had to decline in terms of the industry and then also economy. So he was already seeing the whole Japan from periphery. And his perspective, which is constant in this exhibition, is he's seeing something, he's seeing the world from different perspective, which is very important for contemporary art. In contemporary art, you see things from different perspective. And some artists you encounter and they give you, wow, I didn't see the world like that. And wow, you can see this thing from this different perspective. So Yanagi is a typical contemporary artist to me that always seeing the situation from afar. And his Inujima project also to convert this copper refined factory to a museum. But also his concept was to see Japan from the sea, not from the land. When you see the world map, normally you see the land part. You don't really look at the sea part. But if you see the whole world from the seaside, then you see things differently. And also, if you see Japan from Tokyo, it's always from the perspective of center. But if you see Japan from Kyushu or Inujima Island, you have a perspective from a regional, rural perspective. So that gives you a different view, different landscape, which is very important for Yanagi. So he made this Icarus container also on Inujima that he is critical about the post-war Japanese economical growth. And maybe some of you have already went into this labyrinth that you start. This is, I think, 18 containers connected. And if you go forward, you see the sky. And then if you look back, every time you see the sun. Then, but at the every angle of the 90 degree, there is a 45 degree mirror. So actually what you see at the very beginning, the sky, is the sky at the very end after the chimney. And then when you are at the very end, you keep seeing the sun at the very beginning. So every labyrinth is connected and you are somewhere in between. And then on the mirror, there is a part of the poetry by Mishima, Yukio Mishima, who is a very important Japanese writer, novelist. but he committed suicide in 1970. It was really like a performance. But he was critical about post-war Japanese economy or economic animal, that people are only talking about the growth. Then he even committed a suicide. But he's talking about that kind of perspective on the poetry, so you can read and going through. But also the sun, the image of the sun, it really looks like explosion. So you can again connect with the bombing and explosion of the Hiroshima bombing, Nagasaki. But at the same time, the Icarus was going close to the sun, and then his wing was melted. So what is the power of the sun again? In Japan, the sun of the goddess of the sun, it's a women god, is the center of Shintoism. So for a long time in Shinto belief, that a sun had been the most important god, a goddess. And so it's somewhere between mysticism, but also industrial waste and industrial failure and energy crisis. So everything is contained in the images of the sun. And then you see the real sky. So it's always your reality. But then you will see mirror reflecting both sides. In many of the Yanagi's work, I see mirror all the time. It looks like he's trying to show us something that he created, but also in reflection of the reality. So it's always comparing somewhere between imagination and reality. So I could go to the next area. So after going through the Icarus container, yeah, actually, I'm so grateful for Hanga Bikoka to give Yanagi this biggest space. Because when I showed the Icarus container in Sydney Biennale in 2018, I also gave him the largest space. And he's somebody who needs a bigger space to show what he wants to do. And not many museums have this kind of scale of the space. So yeah, he can only do a little presentation, but it doesn't make sense for him. And I'm so happy that he has this opportunity now. And after going through the Icarus container, I wanted to look at this blueprint photograph with you. This is the images of an atomic bomb which exploded and then took from side and then also upper side. And but many people in Japan remembers, well, like Hiroshima people calls it pika. And pika means the bright light. So they only remember strong light suddenly in the air. And then moment later, you're all burned. Or some people lost your life. So it's the strongest light. But also, he has intentionally chosen this medium, a cyanotype. It's a blueprint, is cyanotype print, it's called. It's the image is staying by exposing this chemical liquid onto the sunlight. So again, it relates to the strong sun, or sunlight. And so the choice of the medium is strongly related to the motif that he is trying to depict. And but also blueprint fade soon, and it doesn't last long so much. So it's all about natural force is controlling the memory of ourselves. And he's also trying to really talk about the memory of a human being, because after 80 years, it's easy to be forgotten. And people who had the actual experience of being a victim of Hiroshima and Nagasaki is ending their lives. So all the generation is ending, and how new generation could continue talking about the incidents that happened for the human history. So it's not only about Japan, it's about every one of us. The how to keep the humanity across the whole globe. And without moving, I'll talk about that Hinomaru neon piece. Again, that is, he's using neon, half of the sun, and the other half is a reflection. And of course, that is a resemble to Japanese flag, but the one with the light going like this, that design was used during the war. So it was a military flag. And for those people in Asia, when Japan was invading or occupying larger part of Asia before the war and during the war. So that flag is, for some countries, it's almost taboo to look at or to show it. And it's also sensitive to show this flag in Japan. And because it relates to all the war memories and occupation memory. And also, again, talking about the sun and God, the current emperor, after the war, the emperor became just a symbol of the nation state. But after new Meiji government, after Japan ended the samurai period and started a new modern nation, then they wanted to use imperial family as a new religion. So the Shinto, which is, for me, it's a beautiful nature worship religion, close to many of the indigenous belief and then also Hinduism, that all these nature god exist. But from Meiji to Taisho to Showa era, that Shinto was used as a national religion. So that the sun was equal to the emperor. And so the idea of the sunrise is really about praising the god and emperor, and meaning that the Japanese imperial government. So all that notion of the sun had been used in a very different ways. So this flag is so metaphoric, full of metaphor. Again, he used half of the sun and then the other part is reflected on the water. So you have to see what is reality, what is imagined, what is made up story, and what is a made up metaphor and belief system. I think this room really shows extremely important Yanagi's early works. And I hope you don't miss the one on the top. You see something close to the roof? That is again this Sophia form, similar to Godzilla eye, but also similar to the sun. And this same Sophia form comes back again and again. And he made that piece in 1987, very long time ago when he was a student. And he wanted to make something that is floating, and it's a helium balloon, but coated with the soil. So in ancient Egyptian civilization, the scarab, that this little insect, was making little soil, the ball of the soil. And but it's also the scarab was metaphor for the sun god. So all these metaphorical images that he's using, but its idea of floating in the air is so beautiful, and losing the weight or gravity. And when all the sculpture maker are thinking about the gravity of the form, but then by making it hollow and balloon, it's really losing everything, bringing up, so that it, again the soil or piece of land looks like the sun. And he once used the soil of the Hiroshima to remember the soil of Hiroshima. And I believe that importing soil from other land is not so easy. So I don't think you could do it for Milan. But that is from 87. And then after he graduated Musashi no Art University in Tokyo, he really wanted to go outside of the nation. So he burned all the works that he made during the student time. And then he made a decision that he will be reborn, and then he went to Yale University. And this is a piece called The Wandering Position that he made on site here. But this is one of his earliest pieces that he made when he was in Yale University. And he was following one ant for 7 days, but 2 hours every day, 7 days, and following the movement of the ant with this red pencil, and then following the line. So you can see that ant, they don't know where to go, but hit the wall and then come back again. So the always corner is more dense than in the center. And he likes to be like that ant. He doesn't want to decide his own position. He wants to be always wandering so that he doesn't fix his notion of the world. He can always see the world from a different perspective. And so he also even gave a title for his previous show, Wandering Position. It's like himself. So he had to follow the movement of the ant. And then thinking about the ant, we can move to this piece. This wild flag with the ant is the work that he made. It made made him world famous. In 1993, at the Venice Biennale, there used to be an aperto section for the young people. So he was showing this piece, and he won the first prize for the aperto. All of us old enough remember that Cold War ended, and a new order started, and a new boundary started in Baltic area, and then also former Soviet Union. So we started to question this national flag, or nation state, or national boundaries. And it started to change dramatically from end of the 80s to beginning of 90s. So you can imagine in 93, he showed this piece that all colored sand, and then he placed ant in the work. So ant carries this color to next flag. So that slowly, natural boundary is disappearing, and then design of the flag is changing. So that was shocking, but also really pointing the time of the spirit of the time in early 90s. And when we see it now, I think it's again so relevant to think about nation, meaning this nation state. And then also you hear all this news from what is happening in LA, that all the immigrants and people from outside are having very difficult time. But the nation is not constructed like a wall. Nation is really made up of the people, and then people goes back and forth. And also culture also, when people migrate, they bring culture. So food culture and many festival you bring to other place. So I think the humanity is more fluid than national flag or national boundaries. And this is the moment that we are really thinking about that. So by seeing this piece again, I think it makes so much sense. And so Yanagi's work is, a lot of time he makes for the time, for the Pacific specific time and specific place. But after 30 years or more, the work might make more sense or another sense. So you can interpret in a different way all the time. But also this ant piece of wandering around, we are all wandering around throughout our life. So that is so universal. It doesn't bind the work only for the certain people from certain culture. I think he's so universal. And the beautiful part of this this work, at the beginning, he was complained by the animal protecting organization that you are abusing the animal. But actually, he said, once ant died in the flag, the living ant take the dead body outside. So there is no remaining the corpse of the ant in the work, and they're all clean. So they keep their nest so clean. So all that magic of the animal is there too. And I think he added the new flags. He started to make a different national flag at the beginning, which was approved by the United Nations. But this time he added some more flags, which is not recognized by the United Nations. So yeah, we all question about the role and function of the United Nations, and also some of these the groups that are never signing on certain treaty. So I think we have all of us as an individual human being or maybe nation state, all of us are on a wandering position. We don't know where we are, and nobody knows where we are going. But I think it's important to see it as a holistic view. So by seeing the wandering position, you still see the whole view, and you can still try to find where you should go and your position. And same as this, the flag, nation state is not everything, it's always changing. And so how do we make this whole world beyond this national boundary is very important question that we have to ask now. And I'm so grateful again for Yanagi to have this opportunity for us to be able to think about that. And also for the Hanga Bikoka to give him this opportunity. I will close now, and then I'll take some questions. I'm sorry I couldn't really hear more during my talk, but I'm happy to hear your question now. Thank you very much.